So guys, today we have a guest that's making his second appearance on the Both Sides podcast. We have Tarun Sethi. Welcome.
Thanks, mate.
Again. The big man is back.
So thanks
for inviting me again.
So yeah, Tarun was on our podcast, one of our very first guests a couple of years ago. Since then, it's been a bit of a wild ride for Tarun. He's just opened up his new office, McGrath Strathfield, with Michael Murphy. Can we start it off there? Like, everyone's heard your story a little bit from the past. If you haven't already, go listen to it. It's great content. But now that you've kind of transitioned from being a sales agent to being a selling principal, how has your life changed and your world changed?
Can we just drop a quick bomb real quick and mention some of the numbers Tarun does?
Yeah.
Just to give the listeners a bit of context.
It's nuts.
And look, Tarun didn't want us to tell his age, so I'll keep that off the record, but he's in his mid-20s and he's doing...
and he's
doing some incredible numbers, which I think will be super inspiring for a lot of people to learn off and hear from. We can cut this out if you don't want it in,
brother. That's all right, mate.
Yeah. But can you just share a little bit about where you are so people can get a sense for who Tarun is?
Yeah, of course. Well, the first question, you were talking about...
The change from being a sales agent to being a selling principal.
Sorry to cut you, Grant.
No, because you asked me a question and I forgot what Kev said. What's the change? Well, I'm still a selling agent, so I'm a selling principal, so to speak. Probably the biggest change has been, from just an agent to now owning the business yourself.
Yeah.
Your responsibilities have changed and, you're in a leadership role where people are looking up to you. I think it's very important to lead by example, practice before you preach, and making sure that, you're not just kind of telling people what to do, but living and breathing it yourself. I think there's an element of that. It's very rewarding because you're able to see people grow around you. And a lot of people ask us how the new year's kicked off, all that sort of stuff. We've had a great start to the year. But more importantly, I think a true measure of where we're truly at is the people that we're working with and surrounding ourselves with on a daily basis. We've got now a team of nearly 25.
25?
Yeah.
How long have you been open for?
We opened in January. So...
Sheesh, 10 months.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, 10 months, yeah.
Wow, so how have you been able to stay consistent selling the level of or volume of homes that you have? So just to get everyone in context for where Tarun's at, in his core suburb of Strathfield, even while transitioning from one agency to opening up his own, he's been able to sell 41 houses in Strathfield with an average sale price of about $4.1 million, which is just mental in any scenario. But to do that while you've transitioned, how have you been able to keep that pace and volume consistent?
I think people do business with people, and we're in the people's business. And if you do the right thing by people, then they're going to remember you for that. So I think it's been a pretty fruitful and rewarding year in the sense that people have, remembered me as their agent and called me in when, they are looking at making a move. Strathfield is a high transactional area, turnover is great. And a lot of people, are talking about how the market has been tough, or a lot of people haven't been clearing their stock. Listing is one thing, but selling it is just as important. And I think, that's probably been what's been most pertinent in terms of keeping the consistency regarding the sales and also the traction out there. We heavily market ourselves self-promotional and kind of, business marketing as well is very important to us. So we have a strong, focus and a dedicated marketing team that spends, their undivided time and attention on making us look, like superstars.
Yeah. To make you look like you're 35, not younger.
She touches up my beard in that.
Why McGrath? Why not do your own thing?
Good question.
Or Ray White?
I get it. Oh, Ray White.
TSG.
Oh, Ray White. That's the only other option, yeah. No, Ray White are good. They're all good. And, doing it yourself, I mean, looking back at it in hindsight, I think I wouldn't have changed a thing. We couldn't have been happier with the support, the systems, the processes. that McGrath have to offer. The brand presence and John McGrath himself, probably one of the most visionary blokes in real estate, you know, in Australia at least. And I think ultimately, you know, when you want to be the best, you have to surround yourself by the best. McGrath have, you know, all their franchise owners, all their agents within the brand are probably, you know, some of the, well, they've actually got the most top 100 agents in the country. So they're very good at what they do. The brand itself, the marketing collateral, their niche has probably always been prestige real estate. That's what the Inner West is. That's their forte, and I felt like that's what our forte was as well. So we collaborated the two, and the market and the community have reciprocated to the brand incredibly well.
Cool.
We've got the lion's share of, you know, the market in Stratford and the surrounding areas, and we sold the most houses in our core area this year.
So
in our core markets.
Another question leading in, sorry to touch so much on your age, but you've been able to do such incredible numbers and achieve such incredible accomplishments over this, over your short, in terms of comparatively compared to your competitors, a short time frame.
Yeah.
How have you been able to beat out competitors that have been in, I know there's some competitors of yours that have been in the industry for 30, 40 years in the same area.
Yeah.
How are you beating those people while being half their age?
God, well, look, it sounds cliched, but I'm going to say it anyway. Age is just a number. And you probably say the same thing, Kevin.
I would, yeah.
Yeah. Ultimately, I think, you know, a lot of the people that have been doing it for 30, 40 years may develop a level of complacency, ignorance, or, you know, just a lack of hunger and eagerness, you know, the want and the willingness to achieve that one thing probably isn't there as much after having done it repetitively for 30 or 40 years. That excitement, that hunger, that adrenaline rush when you get a deal done, it probably dissipates a little bit. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah.
And I also feel, you know, when, again, this will sound cliched as well, but hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And, you know, in any business, I think the key to success, obviously you have to have a skill set that you need to develop and grow to be able to execute the task that you set out to do. But then you also need unrivaled dedication, commitment, and, you know, laser line focus. I think that's so important. And when you have all of those three combined, then you've created the perfect storm of events. You've got, you know, the great combination to, you know, go out and achieve what you set out to do.
So are you 7 days a week at the moment?
Yeah.
Seven.
How do you keep... Do you take many holidays?
You have to take into consideration, Kev, that we are a new business as well. And I'm not suggesting that it's a basic, a successful agent or a good agent, you need to work 7 days a week and you need to do all that sort of stuff. But if I'm being honest, I have always worked 7 days a week.
So have you taken much time off this year?
Long weekends, end of financial year. Did have a couple of days off then. But apart from that...
So a couple of days off, not a couple of weeks.
No.
So how are you keeping...
Probably taken three, 4 days off the entire year, man.
That's it?
Yeah. And even on the days off, you know how a day off is.
So the one thing that I'm... How do you manage your mental health? Because what I'll go on a 2 month stint, I'll work 7 days a week for 2 months, and then I burn out and I'll take a week off.
Yeah.
How do you not burn out? How's that possible? How are you keeping care of this thing up top?
Yeah, I hear. Look, there's no magic formula, man, but you got to stay fit. You got to eat healthy. You got to wake up early. You know, you got to follow a strict set of kind of guidelines that you've created for your own life, you know, and that's what works for you. It may not work for me. It may not work for everyone else, but if it works for you, why go reinvent the wheel? Just stick to what works, right?
So you don't get burnout at all?
No.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm always kicking, jumping and leaping like...
Much alcohol?
All hours of the day. No, not really.
No.
I don't drink too much.
So in terms of a drinking, would you have a drink once a week, once a month?
A drink, maybe two if I'm lucky.
Yeah, wow. Okay. Yeah. Jeez, because you're keeping at a high performance. And what time do you wake up and get to bed now?
I think just to answer your question on that, the eagerness and passion and hunger to be number one is what keeps you, you know, and you never want to have a monetary goal or a financial goal. I couldn't care less about that sort of stuff. And I truly mean that, you know. Obviously, we're doing this, you know, there's a means for it, so to speak. But in the same token, you always have to, you know, think to yourself, is this sale, is this target that I'm going to hit, is that going to change my life? Because every time you set yourself a target, I know agents are very driven by JCI goals. Oh, I need to write $1 million, and then I need to write 1.5. And then when I get to 3, I'll be happier. But if that's your measure of happiness in your career and that's how you're going to measure your success, then you'll always keep changing that goalpost and you're never going to be happy. You're going to be endlessly searching, is my belief anyway. And it doesn't mean that's the right belief, but that's just the way I feel.
Were you happy when you weren't writing the big numbers?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
What's your target or goal now that you look at to draw passion and drive?
Now my targets and goals aren't individual. They're more, you know, business focused and what our whole sales team is doing collectively. Yeah.
So how many sales agents do you have now under you? Not under your team, but in the office, standalones?
That's a good question. I'd have to think about that just quickly. Probably somewhere between, probably up to 10 off the top of my head. Maybe a bit more. Yeah.
How do you manage?
10 standalone, there'd be 3, 5. There'd probably be about 16, 17 in our sales team, but 5 or 6 of them, you know, me and my business partners direct EBU teams. Yeah.
So how do you manage to fit in coaching and training your staff when you're running at such a high pace like you are at the moment? And
have to, man, because you gotta think to yourself, how am I gonna change and improve this individual person's A, personal, B, professional life, you know? And that's what they're here for and that's what we're here to do, you know? We need to give to them, and I don't have a philosophy or a mindset that, you know, they're working for me, I'm working for them.
Mm.
How am I going to help take this person and get them from doing what they're doing now and 2, 3, 4x that, right? So I think that's important. That's, you know, critical to us. And if it means that Michael and myself, you know, lose 2 hours a week because we're sitting down and, you know, training the staff individually, then so be it. If it means that we're going to listing appointments or appraisals with them to help them, door knocking sessions, that's fine. Because ultimately, we're here to grow a team, we're here growing a business, and it takes more than one hand to clap, right?
So with your younger guys,
so I thought I'd add that in there.
So with these younger guys you're growing within underneath you at the moment, what would you say to them to when they're trying to build their name in a particular pocket? What would you say to them as being the number one or number two key task that they have to do every single day or key metrics to look at every day?
I think 100 calls.
Connects or just outbound calls? Doesn't have to connect.
I think it should be 100 connects.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because if you call 100 people and none of them answer, that could take me 10 minutes. I'll do it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Just call, hang up, call.
So you think 100 connects every day?
You've got to serve the purpose that you're there for, you know? Don't think of it as a checklist that you're doing to then show someone that I've done it. It should be self, it should be self-motivated and self-driven, you know? Take ownership of that. You're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for anyone else. If you don't make those 100 calls, it's not going to change my life. We're here to change yours, right? And even if they're not in this team and they're listening somewhere else, I think the most important thing is, you know, putting the metrics aside, look at the core area, the suburb that you're focusing in on, and say to yourself, how am I going to get to the next level? What do I have to do in order to facilitate this, right? And the first thing will be data. You need to get data. Before you're able to get appraisals that convert into listings and then sales, you need to formulate data. And how am I going to get the most data? I'm going to attack my area. I'm going to door knock every single house in every single street. I'm not going to do it once. I'm going to do it twice. I'm going to accumulate that data and then nurture it. I'm going to set tasks to every person I speak to for 2, 4, 8 weeks, depending on their personal situation and circumstances, you know? And tailorize your approach to everyone you speak to. What you said earlier about being a chameleon is so important.
That's also an interesting thing with talking about being a chameleon. You're in an area where there are also a lot of nationalities that are not yours, that you have a lot of other
nationalities and personalities.
Exactly.
Like any area.
Now, you've obviously got some competitors that are of the same nationality. Now, I'll hear some people that will use it as an excuse, or they've listed with that person because they speak Chinese.
Yeah.
How do you overcome that and be a chameleon in a market like this?
Look, we have a very multiculturally diverse sales team as well. You know, so we've got Chinese, we've got Koreans, we've got Indians, we've got Lebanese, we've got Australians, we've got Italians. That can be easily overcome, that hurdle. But I think
so. You'll sometimes pick someone else out to come to the appraisal.
Yeah,
with you.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, and then work on it together.
Yeah, yeah, beautiful.
And then just share that listing, and you know, help each other out. Absolutely. And they'd do the same to me. You know, they'd sometimes ask me to go to an appointment with them. You know, I think that's very important. Yeah.
Beautiful. We've got some viewer questions here. Need Tarun to elaborate more on his personal life and what led him to where he is now.
My personal life. What led me to where I am now, I think, was just, again, a passion for real estate, property and serving people,
yep.
I think, is probably the key. Because, and again, serving people sounds cliched and a lot of people would say that, right? But the satisfaction and enjoyment that you get when not only have you helped achieve someone's goals and dreams, but then also exceeded their expectations on that, and you see the rewards off that. You see how fruitful and rewarding it is, and you see how then these relationships turn into friendships for life. It's just amazing. It's honestly the best thing
you
ever.
You got to dinner a lot with your clients?
you remember.
You do go out a bit, bastard. Don't you?
Sorry, was I not meant to say
no,
that?
Whatever you want.
Dinner and all that.
Yeah, I don't get to the point where, you know, we're going out to dinner with clients. How does that
ever?
Happen? Not really.
Yeah, okay.
Not really, no. Like, I have a couple of times. No, I don't ask. Do you ask?
If you don't ask, you don't get, Kev.
So what do you say? Hey, can I take you out to dinner?
Yeah. I had one last night.
So yes, how often do you do it?
5 days a week.
Yeah, sometimes it is like that. I don't think it has to be like that, but I think, you know, if you get a great outcome and it's a great result, I think it's, we like to say that, you know, we're not just your agents here for the transaction. We're here every step of the process. That might mean project managing, you know, the renovation for you up until the sale. It might mean helping you with your next step, finding the next property for you. It'll also mean, you know, having a nice meal together, and, you know, talking about non-real estate or business-related stuff for an evening and getting to know each other on a personal level.
Yeah, cool.
That's how you build those relationships.
Wow. And how many nights a week do you think you'd go out to dinner with a client?
Mate, some weeks it might be 2 or 3 and others it could be 6 or 7.
So at least always a couple.
Yeah, there's always a couple.
What are some of the activities that you hold for yourself at the moment, which you're consistent with? Is there a certain amount of calls or nurturing you do?
I just look at my phone, man. I look at my phone. I don't know if you know this, but if you look at your phone and you go to the last call, the last call on your phone should be the 100th call for the day, right? So my 100th call was at 6 p.m. last night. So since 6 p.m. last night till now, I've made 100 calls.
Yeah, gotcha.
Every call I get, as soon as I've called them back, any missed calls, I delete it from that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So no missed calls.
I know I've called that person, but then also I track at the end of the day. I just need to make sure that last call isn't from that same day. And it never is.
Yeah.
Usually my 100th call is in that afternoon, 1, 2 p.m.
So do you do calls in morning appointments and arvo?
Yeah, but I'm very efficient in a sense where I'm not going to go from one appointment to another without making 4 or 5 calls. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Makes sense. Another viewer question. What would you have done differently if you were to start again?
I think, look, obviously when you're young, you're still learning and everything's a learning curve. That's the way I treat it. I don't, you know, like to say to myself, I've made a mistake, but I've learned from it. And then, you know, kind of use that to move forward and go ahead in life. But when I was young, I earned $1 and I spent 2. And I think most people do, but I don't regret that. I had the time of my life. I'm still young. And, mate, you do only live once. And ultimately, you're going to die with 0. So as long as you're happy and you're having a laugh throughout that journey, I think that's most relevant. That's Love most that. Important to me anyway.
Love that.
Yeah.
Another viewer question. Being financially successful at a young age, when will you know it's time to hang up the boots?
Oh, I'm financially in debt at the moment. So I think the viewers are mistaking me for another Tarun. no, look, when will I hang the boots? I think everyone has a different purpose in life and, you know, your goals change as you grow.
What would you say your purpose is?
To create a brand and to create a vision, a reputation as well in the community that everyone says, you know, these guys are the guys to go to. Not just because they get great results, but they're also great guys, you know. I want to solidify that, make that bulletproof, I think is important to me. Provide for my family, you know, be able to help. And this probably sounds a little bit over the top, but if my mum wanted to buy a supercar tomorrow, just be able to buy that without having to blink an eye. Same goes for my sister, my brother, my entire family. You know, when I get married and have kids, hopefully one day.
Then, the real wife.
Yeah, and to be able to... not the manifested one. No, to be able to provide for everyone. And people forget there's only a certain amount that you need to live. You don't need to be making all this money if you're not going to use it, utilize it, you know, so you want to enjoy it as well. I think I'll hang up my boots. Not just yet. I've got a few years up my sleeve. But the truthful answer to that is I don't know.
Another viewer question. What would be your advice for associate agents that are looking to be number one?
Well, it's a big call to be number one. If you want to be number one in your core, it's not an easy task, right? So first you've got to, you know, if you want to be number one, you've got to start acting like you're number one. You got to think to yourself, you're number one already. So what's a number one agent going to do? What time am I going to wake up? Am I going to have started work by 7 a.m. in the office? Am I going to be doing all these tasks during the day? Am I going to be, and if you're an associate, you're probably in the infancy of your career. And if you're in the early stages and you're comparing or competing with agents who have been in the game for 20 or 30 years, you got to find out what you have that they don't. What's your point of difference? Is it hunger? Is it energy? Is it hustle? It may not be talent, but what did I say earlier? Hard work beats talent, and talent doesn't work hard. You know, that's important.
Would you say you're talented?
I'd like to think so.
But you work hard, but you outwork everybody.
Yeah.
So what's next steps?
I'd like to think so, but I wouldn't say I've got crazy talent. No, absolutely not. I wouldn't say that there aren't other agents in my office that are more skilled than me. They definitely are. But what kind of tips one from the other over the scale sometimes is that hard work. Yeah.
So what's next for Tarun? Like you're already at this point where you're writing a few mil. Do you push to go to another level or do you stay consistent at what you're doing at the moment? Or does that not even come in as a factor to you?
I'm always in growth mode, so I always like to grow. And I will be looking at definitely, you know, growing this place. my business partner and I have ambitions to open up a second office in the next year. So
same area?
We've got to fill this place up. I can't say too much about the area yet, Kev.
I tried, guys. I tried.
But yeah, we'll be at capacity when we're at 30. So we're nearly there. We should be at capacity by the end of the year. And, you know, we really want to kind of, you know, maximize efficiency, increase output, get the most out of everyone, push them to be the best versions of themselves. And, you know, they can go home and safely say to themselves that, you know, we were super efficient. We had an awesome day. My day throughout the day, just so you know, when people say I'm 100 miles an hour, I'm like redlining at 8,000 RPM, like at fucking really? 6 a.m. Yeah.
That's insane.
So you have to, you know, say to yourself, everyone's got a set amount of hours in the day, and sometimes it's not about working hard. Sometimes it's not about working 12, 14 hours a day. Sometimes it's about working smart. And how are you going to increase that efficiency and do 14 hours of work in 8 hours? So you can have a life, you can have a balance, and you can do everything else as well. Makes sense? So I think next is probably going to be, you know, more focused on that. You know, we want to knuckle down on that and, you know, potentially look for a second office as well.
How do you, how have you been able to go from have 5 active listings to 10 to 15 to 20 to 25? How do you keep going up with the amount of listings that you're carrying, have more staff that you were carrying previously, and still be able to get all the work done within the same time frame? And how do you deal with the stress of it all?
I don't get too stressed out. I did a lot. I was a massive stress head, like crazy insanity, you know, anxious levels through the roof. But now I just say to myself, what's the worst case scenario, man? Like, is this thing going to matter in, forget 5 years, is it going to matter in 5 weeks? Probably not. Don't let things get to you so much, because that's when you can become a true professional at what you're doing in whichever industry you're in. You know, learn to desensitize yourself a little bit, detach yourself, don't get emotionally invested. And that's not to say that you don't have a care factor, because you do. You care about something, you're passionate about something, but then there's only so much you can do. Not everything's in your control. You're an agent, you're not a magician, right? So you just got to, you know, let things be a little bit, not try and fix and control everything. That used to be my personality type. Wanted to fix everything. If something was broken or didn't work, I had to attack it then and there. I've just calmed down a little bit.
the new Tarun's got a cool head on him, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
After, man.
So do you meditate or anything? No.
I have in the past.
Yeah.
Not frequently, not regularly. But I do like, yes, you hear me say I work 7 days a week. But what I don't say in addition to that is on Sunday afternoons, I'll chill out. I'll spend time with my family, my friends, my loved ones. I like to do that a couple of nights during the week as well. So I work hard, but there is a balance there. And I think that's important. You know, there is time for family. There is time for friends. There has to be.
Yep. What about hobbies? Are you doing anything for yourself? That's.
I wouldn't say I am, no.
Married to the
Not
job.
At the moment. Not at the moment. I think if you ask any, you know, business owner, anyone going through the startup phase of the company, it isn't as smooth sailing. It's like building a house, guys, when you're excavating, right?
Hit rock.
New piers, big rock, and laying the concrete slab. Once that foundation is laid and you're out of the ground, then building becomes a lot easier and things become simplified as time goes on. But the hardest stage is getting out of that ground, right? So I think after this year, things and the trajectory of it will, you know, ease off a little bit.
You do much work with coaches. I remember last podcast you were with Adrian Bowe.
Yeah, Bowie. He comes in.
Yeah.
He comes in a couple of times a month. He's our sales manager in the sense where, like, he focuses on just kind of, you know, helping, nurturing the sales team. And he's not just, you know, with us during the time he comes in, but any one of our sales agents have immediate access to him. So they can pick up the phone today and just say, hey, I'm on the way to a listing. I'm stuck here. Can you help me there?
Wow. Okay. So you've been using that ever since you've opened up McGrath?
Yeah. Since the beginning. We're very heavy on, you know, coaching, on upskilling our team and trying to grow them as much as possible. What can we give to them? We can give them a skill set that takes time to grow and implement. Choir. We can give them knowledge and we can give them all of that, and then they have to do the rest themselves.
Yeah. I guess my last question for you would be... Sorry, I'll start that one over again.
Sorry
about your chair.
That's all right. Your face. It's like she crushed off. That's fine. Don't stress.
So my last question for you is a personal one.
Yeah.
It's at the stage now where we've built enough momentum at the moment where we're having a lot of call-ins start to happen, which is really cool. But the one thing that I've noticed in the past, I'd say week and a half, is that because of how busy we are with the stock on market, our eyes started to drift off the new stock, trying to chase more stock through the database.
That's what you're facing?
Yeah, but I can sense it. That's going to put us into the roller coaster. How do you be able to manage the time to be able to keep focusing on the database and getting your data while still being
able to manage? Well, how are stock levels for you at the moment?
Well, we've got 15 listings at the moment online, and we've got, you know, three auctions this weekend. We're launching with three on Monday next week from three photo shoots on Friday. So the stock's turning.
So it's coming on.
Yeah.
So you've got six coming on?
No, we've got three. Well, three selling on Saturday. Well, we should sell four this week. We've got three launching on Monday, but we've got 15 live.
15 live. And all 15 are active? None of them are dead?
I'd say two are probably dead.
Yeah.
The rest of them are pretty active at the moment.
Okay, good, good, good. So you're doing really well. I think you just got to focus on, you know, you have to allocate some time for database management, nurturing people, and have a hot chase pipeline. I think that's important because you've got to look at that every day. But in the same token, you have to be focused on, I think, the time required now to selling property is probably upped a little bit.
Mm.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's taking longer to get a deal done. Some will say we actually have to work for our money now, Kevin.
Yeah, I feel that. Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, you can't just open the front door up and get the buyer to trip over with a check.
I wish.
But having said that, man, you just got to... You've got to stay focused. You've got to build relationships. You've got to treat everyone like gold. And when they're ready, they're also going to call you as well. Mm. I think there's an element of that.
Yeah. Cool.
Sensational. I'm going to ask you a question that I want to learn.
Yeah.
This will be for buyer's agents. How would a buyer's agent build a relationship with someone like yourself who wants to start doing business together?
Mate, call me up and say, when are you free for lunch?
Mm.
It's the best way to build a relationship. Oh, a coffee.
Hmm.
I mean, nothing beats, you know, face to face. If you're that eager and you're that keen, don't call me up and say, you know, I'm a buyer's agent and I've got four active buyers. Do you have any stock? Take the time to meet me, you know.
Hmm.
And I'm not just saying that for me. I'm saying that for any agent. You guys really want to, you know, go out of your way and build great relationships where agents specifically and solely think of you.
Hmm.
You've got to do something in return.
Yeah. Right. What's your favorite type of food for the listeners?
I'm easy, bro. I eat anything.
No, it's good advice. So really take the time and energy to invest in a relationship.
That's with anything in life, right? If you want something enough, go and get it. Mm. Don't wait for it to come to you.
Mm. Legendary.
Because it ain't coming. Someone's going to intercept it. They'll get it before you do.
What's your last piece of advice you'd like to share?
Is that sound effect going to be in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be in it. That's pretty cool.
Adds to it. Character.
I'll make another one. I'm not going
to. You're a cracker.
Oh, God. We're going to make it a little bit funny.
You've got to add some character. Anything else you'd like to share? What's something at the moment that's kind of your message or you're thinking about continuously at the moment?
My thinking, personally, how I can be better, how I can evolve. what's my point of difference? Why me over others? How do we constantly keep refining our processes, adapting, evolving, and growing to be the best? What is different? Everyone asks, what's your point of difference when you go to meet them? Forget about just talking to them, but what is different about us? How do we do things differently? What's our approach? How are we going to evolve? How are we going to grow? How are we going to adapt to the current climate? You know, just being that little bit more upper class, high end, that's our forte, that's our niche. We need to be able to facilitate that. We need something to back that up. We can't just say it and then not do it. How do we do it?
My man,
Turun, part two, let's go.
Thank you, my man. Appreciate it.